meeting that I'm the responsible officer for the hospital consultants. GPs have a similar arrangement where they have to prove their continued fitness to practice through appraisal through to the GMC. In terms of any clinical activity which takes place on one of our sites, then that activity would be reported and noted through through the systems that we have in the same way as the other activities. So untoward events, complaints, etc. would be reported and monitored and would appear in the various systems that we've looked at during the board meeting, so that we would see that.
I'd just like to say, I've got the microphone now, so I'd like to say, it hasn't answered the question.
Sorry. Yeah.
I'm just going to say that I'm insulted by the way in which the board has insulted the audience here and accused them of being Luddites because they don't want change, they don't want modernisation. Well, that's not true. We do want change, and it's been brought up. If we had a consultant-led A&E in Hammersmith, then it would be a very good A&E, and it should be maintained and kept. Then people could use it. But no, we've also been told that this is nothing to do with finance, it's a clinical-led decision. This is not true. We said that there was a consultancy of clinical, there was only about 25 to 30% consultant with clinical consultancy. And the document that's put out said this: our medium-term trust must continue to deliver savings through efficiency measures, delivering further recovery savings in excess of $207 million over the next 5 years. Well, this is about finance. Why can't we have an A&E maintained in Hammersmith? Why do we have to cut over 300 beds in Charing Cross? These aren't clinical decisions. And this is not going to be accepted. People are not Luddites. They want a better healthcare system and they want better services. Why do we always have to accept if they can give $47 billion to the Royal Bank of Scotland where they can put it into the NHS?
In her presentation, Tracy Batten quite rightly said we should move from a hospital-led system to a home care or community-based medical system. I think the majority of people in this room, myself included, would entirely endorse that. But what actually does concern me is that her theoretical model has very little to do with what the UK today, and particularly London, or particularly this part of London, is like. The social care budgets, both for the NHS and for Imperial and the local councils, are being cut so badly there's no possibility of replacing beds with what really are desirable services. And the trouble is, people are getting older. People like myself, or people much older than me, find it much more difficult to travel to the diminishing number of facilities which actually exist. Imagine an elderly person, say myself or older, trying to get to St Mary's in Paddington from around here, I don't live around here, on a Friday or Saturday evening. It's virtually impossible if you have not got a car. Trying to get down to Chelsea Westminster when Chelsea is playing a home match, or QPR, or Fulham, it's impossible. What actually strikes me as a lovely theoretical model is actually not based on actual demographics. And using the word demographics in theory doesn't actually meet what one meets in the street. I'd like to ask Tracy, how would you manage, say, a parent with two children having to go to a very distant A&E, pulling a pram on a bus, and then get back afterwards, an older person queuing up for much longer at St Mary's, and then having to come back after treatment? It's a lovely model, but we prefer the actual existing society of Hammersmith and Fulham to be addressed with a plan rather than the beautiful corporate model. That meets corporation needs, but I think increasingly it does not meet actual person needs.
So I think that was a terrific question, and I think it raises a really important point about the systems that need to be in place within the community, the services that need to be in place within the community to continue to change the way that we deliver care. So we know that services have to continue to change. We understand that. And we know that within the community sector today, there aren't the sort of supports that are needed to support people to keep healthy in their homes. What I think we've demonstrated as we've thought about our changes at the Hammersmith A&E is that we will only put in place changes when we are confident that we have the clinical capacity in the right places to be able to safely and effectively change the way we're delivering care. So what will be required over the next few years is us continuing to work with the community sector, with the social care sector, with our GP colleagues, to ensure that we have the right care available within the community so that we can safely change those models of care. I completely agree about the second part of the question, which was around transport. And the transport links are difficult. We absolutely understand that. When I was talking about the implementation of our strategy, I said we did need a comprehensive transport strategy so that if you do need to go to St Mary's and you are unable to make your way home, how we can facilitate your transport home. So we completely understand that, and we do understand that distances between sites and the transport, public transport that is available doesn't always drop people at the door of every facility. So we'll need to continue to work on our transport strategy.
Going back to the capacity of St Mary's and Charing Cross to cope with the closure of emergency at Hammersmith, your own paper said that 49 beds would need to be made available at St Mary's and Charing Cross for that purpose, but you're only providing 15 new beds, and the rest will have to come from winter escalation beds. So what happens when winter comes, and why hasn't that been included in your risks, and why has nobody on the board raised that issue, which isn't properly explained in the paper?
So just for the point of accuracy, the additional beds that we require for the likely admissions from the Hammersmith EU closure going to St Mary's is actually 15 beds. What we've presented in the paper is a clear separation between the fact that at St Mary's and at the Charing Cross, we have got already capacity as contingency for the increased seasonal demand that we would see at winter, and that's already in place, and that is in addition to the extra beds that we're putting in at St Mary's to accommodate the anticipated extra admissions from the closure of the facility on this site.
That's my point. You say you need 49 beds.
No, and we have those. So I'm absolutely confident them both in terms of the implications of this emergency unit closing and the capacity required at St Mary's, together with what we know we need to accommodate on St Mary's and the Charing Cross site around those seasonal increasing demands around winter. We have got that in place. We've got the physical capacity that is staffed, and that's going to be available. The other thing about capacity is not just about beds. It's really important to understand that this is also about changing the way we deliver urgent and emergency care demand. So having more senior clinicians available throughout the day and at weekends up to midnight in the emergency department to provide ambulatory emergency services to actually get people back into hot or urgent care clinics the next day rather than admitting patients into beds is the model of care that we actually need to try and support and deliver, because we admit too many patients into hospital beds across the NHS when actually the provision of different models of care to manage those patient needs outside of hospital and back into their own home in an ambulatory or clinic environment is what we're trying to also put in place. So it's not just bed capacity, it's about expertise and people capacity and different models of care. We've put that in place.
But my question was about beds, and it still seems to me you're double counting.
So no,
if there's a winter emergency.
So I can absolutely assure you, we are not double counting. We have got winter capacity for the increased seasonal demand on the St Mary's and the Charing Cross site. And we've got extra, not double-counted capacity in relation to the St Mary's demand that we would see from the closure of the Hammersmith EU. As I absolutely guarantee that, I know where that